Blog Talk Radio.
Saints of God, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven Monday. This is the first broadcast in this new series entitled God's Prophetic Declaration. Well, we had a wonderful service yesterday at Grace Church. I hope you all agree with me on that note. Officially, Pastor Harry has been brought back by the Lord, and I don't know about you, but I'm ecstatic about his return, and so him and Sister Debbie are back, and what a great asset they will be to me, a sounding board, if you will, and a blessing to the church. He was a blessing before I got there, and he's going to be a blessing now, and I'm just elated to have him back. Also, I don't know if you noticed, but the church is little by little incremental growth. Yesterday, I think it was the fullest we've had it. And again, another sign from the Lord. I got to tell you, I enjoyed my hour of prayer today at church, and I'll be back tomorrow. I got a phone call from Pastor Harry a little while ago. He said, hey, Mike, how'd everything go today? I said, beautiful. He said, who was there? I said, me and the Lord. He says, I'll be there tomorrow. God bless his soul. So keep praying for the noontime prayer meeting. I know you're all working. Everybody's, you know, we got grandkids. We have jobs. We have all kinds of duties, people we're taking care of. So just wherever you are, just say a little prayer from 12 to 1 o'clock, if you can. And you'll be with us in spirit. But we want to keep the fan, the flame of fanning. If you don't fan the flame, the fire goes out. And that's all we're trying to do, fan the flame. So let's turn to our scripture. Don't forget tomorrow night, Tuesday, the most important service of the week at Grace Church, which is our prayer meeting, starting at 7 p.m. for a half hour of Bible instruction on prayer and things related to prayer, and then to a sweet hour of prayer. Our scripture text for this week and the phrase that we're going to be looking at. So let's look at the scripture text, Ezekiel 34:11. It reads, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out." The verse is broken up into four parts. We're looking this week at the green portion. "For thus saith the Lord God." Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, because you are the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the good shepherd. You are above all shepherds, and all shepherds answer to you. And if they don't think so, they will soon find out when you confront them. Lord, we thank you for putting us in the ministry. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that we would be ambassadors for Christ, shepherds of the flock. Pray for the flock that you've given to me to oversee with a loving hand, a caring hand. And Lord, I pray that I would be all that you would want me to be to Grace Church. I thank you for the beautiful members there who love the Lord, love the scriptures, love Jesus, love the Holy Spirit, and only want to do good. Bless them, Lord, we pray. Bless this week of study, we pray. And again, we thank you. We cannot thank you enough for Pastor Harry and Sister Debbie coming back to us and being part of this move of God, this fresh move of God, where God is orchestrating everything, and we just sit back in amazement to see how he is doing it, and we praise him for it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. This chapter, Ezekiel 34, has to do with God managing leadership, God overseeing leadership. Leadership on the highest level, leadership with the greatest responsibility. What leadership is that? Local church pastorships. Local church pastorships. In the book of Revelation, another term for the local church pastor is when Jesus spoke to the seven churches, he addressed each one of the seven angels. Each angel means messenger, not winged, not a creature with wings, but a messenger of God. A pastor is called, one of the biblical terms is angel, one who brings forth God's message. Pretty much like Gabriel brought a message to Mary and Michael brought a message to Daniel. Notice that those are truly angelic beings, but the main meaning of their names, the main import of their name is messenger. Whether they are winged like Michael and Gabriel or whether they're unwinged like us pastors. So either way, it is important to note that in this chapter, God is policing pastors. We can think of God like kind of internal affairs. Wherever there is corruption in leadership, trust you me, God will root it out. It won't be long before God takes a pastor who is not doing his job, and God will show that pastor the door. Why? Well, because God is concerned about his flock. He's concerned about his people. And whenever his people are not made a priority, whenever his people are not cared for with the loving hands, whenever his people are not shepherded with devoted hearts, God gets rid of the under-shepherds who do not perform as he would have them to perform. So, the portion of scripture that we're looking at this week is just a simple phrase, "For thus saith the Lord God." Now, again, God polices all shepherds. Now, I know we have deacons who are there to safeguard the church if the pastor is doing something wrong. I know we have trustees who are there to safeguard the church in case pastors are doing something wrong. But in many, many cases, the deacons and the trustees fail many times to do what they need to do, which is to get rid of the pastor in a timely fashion. And many times the deacons are praying and they're trusting and they're saying, "Lord, when do we say goodbye to this person?" And the trustees say, "Lord, when do we say goodbye to this person?" And you pray and you hope and you say, "God, we're waiting on you to change the heart. Lord, we're waiting on you to bring this person back and allow them to do their job the way they're supposed to do it. And Lord, you speak to them. Lord, they're your under-shepherds." And while you wait for God to act, God is saying two things. One is, my flock is decreasing. My flock is dwindling. And number two, I have left it up to you to give this man the boot. And you haven't. So there's a fine line. Listen, I'm not saying don't pray for a pastor who is not doing his job. No, by all means, pray. But at the same time, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one. So God would have us to say goodbye, show the pastor the door, terminate his services at the church. This way the flock is saved. Now, knowing that that's not the way it works many times, God has no choice but to step in and appear prophetically and declare, "Thus saith the Lord God." Here, by way of introduction, I want to show you that in this entire chapter, there are three things that God does, three things. First is indictment. Second, verdict. Third, removal. Think about it. Someone is indicted for a crime or for something, some criminal act. They're indicted. But indictment doesn't mean you're guilty. Indictment means now this thing goes to trial. Once your case goes to trial, then the jury or the judge renders a verdict. So first there's an indictment, then there's a verdict, and then if you have committed a criminal act, what do? They remove you from society. They lock you up. They put you in prison. So in this chapter, God, who is, like I said, policing his own shepherds. Remember, God is the ultimate shepherd. God is the chief shepherd and the good shepherd and the great shepherd. Those are the three titles of God: good, great, and chief. And he's above all shepherds. And when shepherds fail to do what they're supposed to do, especially if they abuse the flock, he indicts them. And that's where "thus saith the Lord" comes in. He's indicting them. He's reading them their crimes, pointing out their abuses. So he indicts them. Then as judge, he renders his verdict because he does not submit. He doesn't submit the case to a jury. No, God is the jury. So God indicts, and then God renders his verdict, and then God decides to remove. And that's what we're going to see here in Ezekiel 34. So let's read the introduction. God's indictment, verdict, and removal of what? Of self-centered, self-serving shepherds who also do what? Who also are flock abusing, flock scattering, flock diminishing shepherds. That's what this whole chapter is about. God looks over every church, and wherever there is a pastor or pastors in that church, and in all the churches, what God does, again, he's internal affairs. The trustees and the deacons, for whatever reason, have not moved quick enough. Or perhaps the pastor has so stripped them of power and authority that he's got them handcuffed in many churches. Many pastors in many churches handcuff the deacons and the trustees, where basically they're nothing. And that should not be the case. God has so set it up where there is what? There is shared authority and shared responsibility. So again, when situations are where the trustees and the deacons have been neutralized, and the power is in the hand of one person, and we know the old adage, absolute power corrupts absolutely, then God steps in as internal affairs, and he decries as prophet, because to this week we're looking at God's prophetic declaration. As prophet, God decries the sins of under-shepherds. What are they? Self-centered. It's only about them. Number two, they are self-serving. They only care about themselves. They claim to be serving the flock, but they're not really serving the flock. They're serving their own interest. And in being self-centered and in being self-serving, what happens to the flock? The flock is abused. The flock is scattered. And the flock diminishes. This is Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 31. So here you have the three key words, indictment, verdict, and removal. Indictment. What is an indictment? It is a formal charge or accusation of a what? Of a crime. That's what an indictment is. It is a formal charge. Here, God says, thus saith the Lord God, I'm indicting you, and these are the crimes. These are the formal charges I bring against you, pastors. Then, in the same chapter, he renders his verdict. What is a verdict? A verdict is a formal decision made by a jury in a court of law as to whether a person is innocent or guilty of an offense. In this case, we know that the pastors are guilty, because we will go through the chapter, we will examine the chapter, and we will see that they are guilty. This is why, listen, many times a man or a woman can be indicted by a grand jury or just can receive an indictment from a district attorney, and in the end, the jury finds them not guilty. So indictment doesn't mean you're guilty. Indictment means that several accusations have been leveled against you. Now you got to go to trial. But this is the difference between man indicting you and God indicting you. When God indicts you, trust you me, you are guilty. When God indicts, and that's what he does in this chapter. Now, of course, God is using Ezekiel, but Ezekiel is not making the indictments. He's not declaring the indictments. Ezekiel is speaking on behalf of God. When he said, when he says, "For thus saith the Lord God," he's speaking on God's behalf. He is God's mouthpiece. So God indicts. What does God do? He lays formal charges or accusations of a crime at the foot of the under-shepherds. Two, verdict, a formal decision made by a jury in a court of law as to whether a person is innocent or guilty of an offense. And then finally, removal. Removal is to take something off or away, position occupied. Abolish or get rid of something. Or number three, dismiss someone from a job. And this is what God does. He indicts the pastors. He renders his verdict against them. And it's a harsh, it's a harsh verdict. And then he removes them. He removes them. So this is what we're looking at here in this chapter. And it's important for us to see that this is what God does. And if any pastor decides to misbehave, watch out. If the deacons don't do anything and if the trustees fail to do anything, trust you me, God will grab you by the nape of your neck and show you the door. For he is God. Now, when I went to Bible college and seminary, and I did my understudy work, my undergraduate work, and then I did my postgraduate work on all the different levels that I went to school. None of this was ever taught. And is it any wonder today there's so much scandal in the church and so much abuse in the church and so many sinning pastors in the church? Because I believe, if memory serves me right, I've taken five courses on pastoral theology, five, at all different levels, and in all different, you know, in my bachelor's program, in my two master's program, in my two doctorate programs, I've taken pastoral theology five times, five. I've had five different textbooks, and at my the shelves in my library are lined with books on pastoral theology. Never has this been covered, and it's right here staring us right in the face here in the Bible in Ezekiel 34, and I never heard this in any one of my pastoral theology classes at any level. And I say to myself, that's the reason why today there is so much criminality in the house of God. But no fear. God is internal affairs. God will decry the sins of terrible under-shepherds. And not only will he indict them, but he will render a very harsh verdict and finally remove them. Why remove them? For the benefit of the flock who has been abused, who has been scattered, and who has been diminished to almost near non-existence. So we'll come back and we'll look at this tomorrow. And you continue to pray. And don't forget tomorrow, 7 p.m., prayer meeting. Oh, tell somebody about the prayer meeting tomorrow at 7 p.m. Invite someone. Tell them to come on. I'm sure you know someone who needs prayer and who needs to be around praying people. It will do them good. It will draw them closer to the Lord. And who knows? Maybe that might be the means by which they get reconnected to God. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for today's lesson. And Father, we know that you're in charge. Now, people may not think that you're in charge, or people maybe think that you're too busy to be in charge, but we need to be reminded, and we are in the Bible, that you are watching everything. You know everything, and you will not tolerate everything. You see what's going on, but you're not going to tolerate it, because you will indict and you will remove. those who need to be removed because they have failed your people. Oh God, upon our hearts, that you are God and you will always do what is right for your flock. Bless us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, my dear brothers and sisters.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. I'll join, yes, join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. There with, yes, with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. I am on my way to those mansions fair, just over in the glory land. There to sing God's praise and his glory share, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. I'll join, yes, join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. There with, yes, with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see, just over in the glory land. And with kindred saved there forever be, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. I'll join, yes, join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. There with, yes, with the mighty host I'll stand,